The text for this evening's meditation is from the Ephesians 1 passage we just read. To start, I quote again from that first hymn that we sang to open the service this evening, verse 1. On Christ's ascension, I now build the hope of my ascension. This hope alone has always stilled all doubt and apprehension. Listen to these next two lines. For where the head is, there as well, I know his members are to dwell, when Christ will come and call them. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One way of looking at the Christian church or any congregation in the church is to, well, we could count how many people are in church. We could count the membership rolls. We could count the offerings, and we do all these things. I could think of some unique ways. We could count how many kilowatts the church building uses. I mean, there's so many ways we measure, isn't there? In fact, we just had the church valued. Remember church council? We had a estimator come and give an updated estimate of the rebuild, what it would take to rebuild this building. So many ways to measure. And in the measuring of these ways of measuring, in earthly ways of measuring, then sometimes a church looks good, sometimes a church looks not so good. Sometimes a church looks weak, not strong. These are ways that we need to measure the church for this reason or that reason, but these are not God's eternal measurements. The church is God's. And so the way the church, God's people, are measured are by God's measurements, what he says his people are. And this is in part what Paul writes in this opening chapter in Ephesians. What are you, God's people, to whom he writes? You may have noticed, it's very interesting, I don't know if you noticed it, and I should have pointed it out as I was reading it from Ephesians 1. Did you notice that most of what I read from Ephesians 1 was one sentence long? It's the second longest sentence in the New Testament, in the Greek. The longest sentence is right before it, what he opened up. But in this long sentence, plus one or two extra, he goes on and describes God's estimation of the church and what they are. And that's what we're going to think about a little bit this evening. What does Paul tell us and teach us that God's people, we, the church, are? And there's so much here. We just touch on a few points, but enough for us to get some teaching from him. He says starting in verse 18, he says what he would like for his readers, for us, and the first readers, to have the eyes of our hearts enlightened so that we may see our hearts, we may know what is the hope to which you have been called. He wants us to know the reality of what we've been called to be God's people. What is that reality? And what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What do we inherit? What is ours as people of God in Christ Jesus? And then and this is where I thought of the term measuring. He says in verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of power towards us who believe? Now he says, okay, so I want your eyes opened and for you to understand how great is God's power to us who believe, how immeasurable it is. You can't measure it. Not in human terms. In human terms, what we are as God's people, what God's church is beyond measure. He continues, according to the working of his great might. Now, what is this immeasurable greatness? according to God's great might. There's two things he lists there that show, that give evidence, that are God's great might, that we see it. First, he says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We can do many astounding things in our day and age, and past generations and past civilizations have also done amazing things with what they had at that time. But nobody raises somebody from the dead. We know when dead is dead, then that is it, and you have your funeral, you move on, and things change from there. But for God, he raises the dead. And as I've said many times to Jesus, he calls death sleep for his people because he can wake them up when he wants to. And when he's ready for them to wake up again and rise from the dead, he will raise them. So here is this immeasurable. How are you going to measure raising from the dead? We don't have a measure for that, except that God does it. Another thing by which we see God's working of his great power and might is that Jesus not only was raised from the dead, but then he ascended and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. This again, you can have the greatest scientist, leader, ruler, but a human being like that is not seated at the right hand of God the Father. This is a great and wondrous thing that is beyond our measurements, beyond our capabilities of quantifying what God does in Christ Jesus. It's, as Paul says, it's immeasurable by our standards and our ways. He says that Jesus seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, and this is talked about many places in Scripture. Jesus has sat down now at the right hand of God the Father. What is that right hand of God the Father? And I thought of it as I was preaching the 1 p.m. service. I forgot to put it in here. It didn't appear except in the train of thought, and I'll bring it up here. This was actually a point of debate at the time of the Reformation. Where is the right hand of God the Father? You see, in the debate between Martin Luther and Zwingli, they were saying, is Jesus in the bread and wine? Is his body really, truly in the bread and his blood really, truly in the wine? And Zwingli and those who thought like him said, well, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. That was believed, so he can't be in the bread and wine on this altar and the altar over there and the altar around. He can't be there too. So Zwingli was thinking in very measuring terms, human measuring terms, wasn't he? And one of the things that Luther wrote extensively about was that the right hand of God is the power of God, as Paul says here. And you can't limit where Jesus is going to be. If he's sitting at the right hand of the power of God, he's going to do what he does, and if he says he's going to be here, he's going to be here. That's the way it is, because he promised to do it. Think about what he says here then. So where is this right hand in the heavenly places? And Paul says in verse 21, that right hand in the heavenly places is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It doesn't sound like my Milwaukee tape measure can measure that. Nothing we have can measure what this right hand of God is. It is far beyond all rule and authority and power and dominion. It's beyond our science. It's immeasurable. So if Christ Jesus, our Lord, says he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he also promises to be in his holy supper for us, he can do it. He's beyond our measure. This is the right hand of God, to be with us and to be over all things. And also Paul says that he has a name above every name. Think of all the famous names that we might think of, great names, people living today, people living in the far past, great philosophers, Socrates, or maybe think of great kings, great conquerors, Alexander the Great, which the Bible talks about much in the Old Testament, prophesies what Alexander's going to do. Or we can think of philosophers that are famous in American history, Thoreau or others. But he has a name that is above every name. None compares. None in human history has or will ever be above the name of Jesus Christ and above his rule and authority and power and dominion. And then Paul says, not only in this age, but in the one to come, forever. All the history of humanity and all going into the history of humanity for however long this earth is like this, and until Jesus reigns again into eternity, nothing is over him. This is his ascension. This is his seated at the right hand of God. One of the commentators I like to use is an old Lutheran commentator. His name is called Lenski, Dr. Lenski. And he points out something then in verse 22, the next verse. First of all, and the he there in verse 22 is God, the Father. The Father put all things under his feet. Whose feet? Jesus' feet. So God the Father, as Jesus ascended into heaven, all things are put under Jesus' feet. What I have on the signboard, what I preached on this past Sunday, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And that goes beyond the universe and beyond what we understand. It is everything in the created order is under him, all under his feet. And then Dr. Lenski says, and then there is an amazing thing that Paul says, and the subject is God the Father, and God the Father gave him, that is Jesus, as head over all things to the church. God the Father gave Jesus as the head to the church, and the church, which is his body. And so all the things that are said about Jesus Christ, all the immeasurable things said about Jesus Christ, we are actually part of that. He is our head. And all the blessings and power and authority and dominion, he takes care of us with all that. Since we are of the created order, we are also under his feet. But what's more than that for us who are Christians, we are part of his body. And for all of creation, they all are under his feet, but we are part of his body. And that, Dr. Lenski says, is a great, wonderful gift, that we would be the part of the body of Christ and he is our head. All that is immeasurable about Christ, this is what we are part of, and he takes care of us. Ascension reminds us that Jesus has defeated death, and not only for a temporary time in this world, but his reign is from this age into eternity, and that we are a part of that. And he calls us to be his witnesses to that, because this is a great gift to God's people to be a part of Jesus, to have him as our head. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have called us to be your sons and daughters. And we ask you to always build up our faith to know for certain that we belong to Christ and he to us. For you gave him to us. You put us in your holy church. Help us not to see things in our lives by this earthly measurement, so sometimes we need to do this, but help us to see from your perspective your eternal, immeasurable ways of which we belong to you, and you take care of us in Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.